Welcome to Layup Lines. I'm your host, Caleb Lay, and joining me is my now co-host, Nick Velasquez.
Hello, hello.
Real fast, we're going to go over the fact that you guys went on a road trip this week, and your first game was at Lee, and ESPN was there. It was on ESPN3.
Yeah, no, apparently Lee won some contest, and I guess they get a game on ESPN. Having to be ESPN3, but it's all right, we'll take it.
Did it feel any different than a normal game?
A little bit. I mean, the atmosphere was a little different. The big time cameras were out. The crowd was great. They was all into it. But yeah, anytime you get a chance to be on ESPN, it's a great feeling.
Yeah, yeah. And you guys had a great game. You won.
Yeah, no, that's the main thing.
Yeah.
We're starting to play a lot better than where we've been at. So we just got to keep improving every day and keep listening to coach and staying with the program, really.
Yeah, and you had a great game, specifically. You shot like 4 of 5 from three.
Yeah, no, I did all right.
Yeah.
I did all right.
Yeah,
anything? Just trying to help my team win, really.
Were there any like specific moments or plays that kind of stood out? Because the gym was packed, and so it was just one of those, it felt like a very memorable game.
Yeah, no, it was. Any specific plays?
Or even like a moment, randomly.
Random moment? I should have two. No, not two. One random moment. I was on the court, and I think it was Ashanti shooting free throws. And this guy in the stands was trying to talk to me. He's like, hey, number 5. And I thought he was trying to mess with me. So I looked his way. He said, nice socks. And I just kind of gave him the thumbs up and looked back at the free throws.
Oh, man.
But one moment that's going to stick out to me is I actually airballed a shot in the second half.
Mm.
And, you know, I heard it from the crowd. And yeah. I went airball. And I kind of laughed it off because I don't think I've ever airballed in a game before.
Never.
Besides maybe like a half court at the end of the first half or something.
Wait, you've never airballed in any game?
Not that I can remember.
Not like high school?
No.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I played in an intramural game and I airballed 4 shots.
No, that's the only airball that I can think of that I've ever had. I mean, maybe when I was younger, when I was like 5 and I'm playing on a 10-foot rim. Yeah, but besides that.
Oh my gosh.
That's the last airball I can remember.
Okay. Wow.
I don't know how I did it either.
That's incredible. I can't even imagine that. I can't imagine not airballing shots just because it's what I do. Man, yeah. My favorite moment from that game, or it was a funny moment, was Jared came like running downhill into the lane and goes to lay it up, and this poor little guard runs up underneath him to try to take a charge,
mm-hmm.
and just gets flattened. Yeah. And Jared like almost just jammed it and then just laid it up right there at the end.
Yeah.
And the kid was just laying there, just totally stiff. And it looked like Jared killed him. Like he was totally stiff and laid like that for like a full like 3 seconds before he finally started moving.
Yeah, no. Union's trying to get a bad rep. Felipe's intentionally fouling, and Jared's killing little guards.
Oh man, yeah.
Go South, better watch out.
Hey, you guys being the bad boys would be one of my favorite things. That would be
interesting.
I don't.
A nice Christian school with the bad boys, the bad boys of D2.
Yeah. Oh man. And then you guys played a game yesterday against Shorter.
Yeah, no. We got off to a hot start that game and kind of maintained.
Yeah.
Except in the end, they started to press us and we turned the ball over a little bit. But thank God we had such a big lead. It didn't really matter too much.
Yeah, yeah.
That's something we definitely got to correct in practice this week.
Yeah. I have several questions about that game because it was a pretty... That game was just a weird game in the way that you guys had to play at a different school than Shorter. You didn't get to play at Shorter. You had to play at, like, a nearby college.
Yeah, no. Apparently, so they had played Christian Brothers on Thursday. And after the game, one of their lights from the ceiling fell and like shattered the floor. So we ended up having shoot around still there that night, and there was like all these chairs in a circle kind of letting you know where the light fell. So we had to stay away from that one spot.
Oh man, was it like in the middle of the court?
No, it was on one half and okay. Near the 3-point line. So
the broadcaster said the gym court caught fire. Like it caught on fire.
Oh, I did not hear about all that.
Okay. I heard that and just thought that was the most obscure thing I've ever heard of, a gym court just catching on fire.
Man, I've never heard of that. I mean, when you looked at the floor where the light fell, the wood was a different color. But I didn't think it caught fire, you know?
Yeah. And you guys also achieved a pretty big feat in that game. This is going to sound really weird, but they held Phil Taylor. You guys held Phil Taylor to only 21 points.
Yeah, only 21.
Which is remarkable because he averages like 36 a game.
Yeah. No, Ashanti did a good job on him. He's lanky. He has about 6-7 inches on him, so his height bothered him, and Shanti can move his feet too, so he did a good job, and we actually held him to a little less, but he got a couple meaningless buckets and free throws at the end, so he ended up with 21.
Yeah.
But no, Shanti did a good job, and the whole team really helped out because it's not just a one-man effort. So.
Yeah. He had a stat line where I was actually shocked he had 21 at the end, because he had 21 points on 21 shots, but it was because he went 9 of 10 from the free throw line.
Yeah.
No. But I felt like in the first half, he just wasn't scoring at all. And it was just, and you guys obviously, he had like a 53-point first half.
Yeah, no, we shot the lights out the first half.
Yeah.
Like we came out the gate, I think Trey had about two threes, and Jared came out hot. Charlie had some buckets, so
was there anything different about that game beforehand, or?
No, not really. Just starting to play better as a team, and bench is starting to get into it. We're just starting to become more cohesive, I guess.
Yeah.
And we just got to keep improving on that.
Yeah. And this is a question that might be more for Niven, but I'm going to ask you. I noticed in those two games, he played only 8 guys, and it was the same 8 guys in both games. And so I was just wondering if as the season has progressed, Niven has decided to kind of trim down the rotation to 8 guys, or if you think that's just kind of been a random thing.
I would say he has.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to speak for him and what he's thinking for our team, but for the most part, it's really 8 guys.
Yeah, you guys had 2 great games. I actually had my own great game. we had 3-on-3 basketball. It was the playoffs.
Oh, wow.
I hadn't scored a single point in any of our games yet.
Oh, jeez.
I don't think I had made a shot in the year 2017.
Wow.
And I scored 16 in our last game.
16?
And it was the most points I've ever scored in any pickup game or organized basketball game ever, and we lost 66-34.
Oh, jeez. Hey, you got hot. You got hot. You caught fire.
It was... I hit the three, my very first three of that game.
Uh-huh.
And I started backing up, like running, like I was running back to get back on defense, and I realized it was half court.
Early half court.
Oh, man. But I also airballed, like, 3 shots in that game.
Right. No problem. It happens to the best of us.
Apparently, it only happens to you one time.
Yeah, no, that was weird.
Speaking of, I kind of asked you this right before we started recording, but I kind of asked you if you're a shooter, and you quickly were like, well, I'm not just a shooter.
Yeah, no, shooters hate the label that they're strictly shooters.
Yeah.
So if you ask a shooter if he's a shooter,
yeah,
he might not take it so well.
Yeah, and I don't think of you as strictly a shooter, but I think it's just because I think of you as, you know, you're in the conversation there for being the best shooter on the team,
mm-hmm.
on Egan's team. You know, it's you, Trey, and Jared, that when you guys pull up from behind the arc, I assume it's going in.
Yeah, there's a good chance.
And so I had a couple questions about that. Was there like a moment when you realized you were better at shooting than the average basketball player?
I wouldn't say there was a defining moment. When I was younger, my mom always used to take me to the park before school started, so we was at the park at like 6 a.m. and she was just rebounding for me, and she'd make me shoot free throws, and if I missed, I had to run for them and stuff like that. So my mom was really my trainer when I was young.
Oh, man.
And one moment that she always brings up is I was in like a park league game, and it was late game, and I think it was tied, and I was at the free throw line with like a couple seconds left, and I was like 10, and I made both, and everyone kept coming up to my mom like, oh, how'd he do that, like, he's only 10, and my mom was just smiling because she knows all that we do. So I would say it might be that, but I wouldn't say there's a defining moment.
Yeah. Man, have you always been good at basketball compared to people your age?
When I first started, I was okay.
Yeah.
But also when I first started, there were some kids that were really advanced for their age.
Uh-huh.
So my mom was asking people and their parents, like, how they get so good already, and they're only 6, because that's when I started. And they pointed me to this one camp, and from that one camp in Hawaii, it just kind of started to take off from there. I wouldn't say I got really good until I was about 8, 9.
Yeah. Man. I'm just curious now about, like, Little League Nick. What was the most points you scored, like, before the age of, let's say before 11, before you turned 11?
Before 11?
Yeah. Do you remember anything?
That's kind of tough.
Yeah.
11, I was in 5th grade?
Yeah, that would have been 5th grade. So 5th grade? Basically in elementary school.
I would say I definitely was in the 20s and 30s sometimes.
Oh, my goodness.
But I can't give you an exact number.
Yeah.
The most I can, like, remember to this day is probably senior year playing club basketball. I had, like, 44. And there was still 10 minutes left to go in the second half.
Oh, my goodness.
But I got taken out, so So who knows how much I could have had that day, but it's all right.
You could have dropped 60.
I was going for it.
Oh, my goodness. The most points I ever scored before I turned, like, 15 was 6. Oh, wow. 6 points. I went a whole season one time without scoring, Nick.
Oh, jeez.
An entire season. My only job was to get rebounds. If I got a rebound, an offensive rebound, my job was to pass the ball back out.
Oh, wow. They wouldn't even let you back out.
Just don't even put up the layup. Yeah. It wasn't until, like, my freshman year when I was like, okay, I can score sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Man. Yeah,
that's funny.
That's ridiculous. You put up 44 in a club game.
Yeah.
Man.
I was mad my coach took me out, too.
Yeah. You sound like one of the kids in my church league team. All my guys get mad at me whenever they get taken out.
I wasn't mad about that. I just was mad that I wanted to see how far I could go, you know?
No, I know exactly what you mean. I've got a kid who has, on a high school church league team, that has the ability to score probably 40 points every game, just because of how he's a kid who should be starting on varsity, right, and he's homeschooled, so he's playing with us. And so the other kids are like, you know, it's kids who either didn't make the team, or it's a couple other athletes that, like, you know,
just doing it for fun.
Yeah. Man, so you've always been a scorer then, I guess. Would you describe yourself more as a scorer than a shooter?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say so. But, I mean, there's times where you have to put that away too and play your role of what helps the team the most.
Yeah.
So I got to pick and choose my moments, yeah. especially when you get to college, because everyone's good.
That's true.
And it's really the team that wins, so
yeah,
you got to pick and choose.
But yeah, so you're a great shooter. And I kind of wanted to ask, what would be your top, who's your top five shooters of all time?
Top five shooters of all time?
Yeah.
Myself. No. I'd put Steph.
Okay. Is he number one?
Yeah, he's definitely number one. Because he can shoot off the dribble, mm-hmm. catch and shoot. His release is fast. But yeah, I go Steph. And then the rest is any order.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go Ray Allen, Reggie Miller, Klay Thompson. And my last one, I'm not too sure. I don't know who I'd go five. I'll throw Kyle Korver in there.
Kyle Korver. Yeah. Kyle Korver's in your top five.
I can't think of one. I mean, I'm sure if I had a list of players to choose from, I could
That's get true. One.
But
yeah,
he just came to mind because we was talking about him in the last podcast.
Yeah.
So I'll throw Kyle Korver in there.
Okay.
But my first four are legitimate.
Would you ever do the thing Korver did where he, like, does the super intense physical training thing once a year where he, like, does something that seems impossible? Like, he ran that 5K under the water while carrying, like, a big rock?
I had no idea he does
that. Oh, you have no idea he does that?
I had no idea.
Well, he does this thing where he meets a trainer and, like, they do something ridiculous. Like, they decide, we're going to run 80 miles in, like, 2 days. Or they're like, you're going to run a 5K under the water, but you're going to have this big rock. And what you're going to do is you're going to run for however long you can under the water before you have to come back up for air until you're exhausted. And you come up and the guy pops up and the other guy comes down and, like, runs part of it. And they just keep alternating like that.
Wow, that's crazy. I would never do anything like that. But I swam a mile once in the ocean.
What?
And that was tough.
Why?
I used to be a Boy Scout growing up.
Okay.
So I did that for a little bit and to get one of the badges, you had to swim a mile.
Oh, my goodness.
And I swam a mile in the ocean.
In the ocean.
Yeah. And I remember getting out the water. My arms were just like noodles. I couldn't even move it because I was so tired. The current was strong and just pulling me all over the place. And yeah, no, I don't know if I'd do it again.
They let you do that for the Boy Scouts?
Yeah,
for the Boy Scouts. How old were you?
I was maybe like 14.
Oh my goodness. 13.
I couldn't believe I did it either. Yeah. I swam a mile in the ocean.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I was on the swim team in high school and I don't think I ever did that.
Wow.
I don't think I ever swam like a mile just straight.
No, it was
in the ocean? Man.
It was interesting.
Alright, well, you've done something like that then. He claims that it helps him, like, it helps his brain and helps him, like, be able to, like, turn off pain to some extent and, like, not have to, so that when he's shooting, it's like, it helps him just focus on all that stuff. It's weird.
Wow. I have never heard that. That's interesting. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah. I read something about it recently and I was just like, I would never do that.
I would never do that.
I guess for my list, it would be Steph is obviously on there. Mm. I don't think either one of us have ever seen or ever will see someone that is quite like him.
Mm-hmm.
As many people try to think that, oh, you can just get really good at shooting it and, like, you can do that.
Yeah.
But there's something God-given about that. I think Reggie Miller, Ray Allen, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to throw you two curveballs.
Okay, I'm ready for them.
I'm going to put Steve Kerr on there. I was looking it up earlier today. He has, like, one of the highest three-point percentages ever for, like, NBA players.
Yeah. Well,
he shot, like, 45 for his career.
He also had Michael on his team most of the time.
Yeah, yeah.
He was getting most of the attention, him and Scotty. So.
Yeah. But those guys couldn't
Yeah, no, they could have done it without him.
I mean, yeah. Those guys weren't really, like, shooters either.
Yeah.
Michael's, like, one good three-point year was the year they brought the line in 2 or 3 feet. but, I mean, Steve Kerr was, yeah, he was a floor spacer.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fifth one is the legend, Larry Bird.
I'll take out Korver. Take out Korver. I'm going Larry Bird
too. Yeah. Yeah. I just remember I'm really into like old basketball stuff and I just love the stories of Larry Bird.
Yeah.
In the 3-point contest, like his last year doing it, of getting it down to where he had to make the final shot, the money ball shot to win. And he just pulls it and just shoots and just drains it. And it's just like, yep, I knew that was going to happen the whole time. And it was like, I think he purposely missed a couple of shots so that he'd have to do that. Yeah. Or hearing the story of him coming into like the locker room before 3-point contests and just saying, so who's coming in second today?
Yeah. He actually talked a lot of trash for how quiet he was. And
I know.
How he liked to be alone and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He was actually a good trash talker.
Yeah. I heard stories about how if they ever put a white guy on him, he'd be
offended.
He'd be so mad that he would just be like, all right, now I'm going to drop 40. Like, I was only going to score 30, but now I'm going to drop 40.
Yeah, I'm going to drop 40.
Yeah, that guy was insane. But you actually asked about this, to talk about the Super Bowl a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Or just to do Super Bowl picks.
We can do that.
This is predominantly a basketball podcast, but the Super Bowl is like a national holiday.
It is.
So it's like, you know, it's like talking about Christmas. So, Nick, you're from Hawaii, but you played football down there for a while, right?
Yeah, I played football from 6th grade to 9th grade.
Okay. So, in your semi-professional football opinion, who's going to win?
Well, I would like the Atlanta Falcons to win.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a feeling Tom Brady might win again.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, just the NCAA football championship, everyone thought Alabama was going to win. I thought Alabama was going to
win.
But I was pulling for Clemson.
Yeah.
And Clemson pulled it out. So I'm going to go in with the same mindset. I'm going to go Atlanta. I want Atlanta to win. But I think New England's going to win.
Okay.
So Atlanta's going
to
pull out.
So you're hoping to reverse jinx it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I did the same thing where I thought Bama was going to beat Clemson by, I think I said it's not a matter of who wins, it's a matter by how much Bama wins. But I think the Patriots win. I think it's because they're going to just hand the ball off to LeGarrette Blount, and he's just going to punish that team because it's a fast defense,
yeah,
but not a big defense.
Right.
And then Tom Brady's going to get Roger Goodell to hand him the trophy. And that's going to be incredible.
Tom Brady actually, they asked him about it, if it was motivation for Roger Goodell to hand you the trophy. And he did the nice press release answer where he said, no, I want to do it for my teammates. And without them, I couldn't do it. But
yeah,
deep down, I think it might be a little part of a little motivation for him.
Yeah. I mean, in the fourth quarter of that AFC Championship game, the Patriots fan were chanting, "Where is Roger?"
Yeah.
Which is just, I love that. I love that. I'm not a huge fan of Goodell, so I'm glad that he's now become a villain to like every single NFL fan.
Yeah, he really has.
It's surprisingly good for the game.
I actually don't know how he's gonna like change his image, you know?
I don't think he cares. He makes like, yeah, he makes like $20 million or $30 million a year.
No.
I wouldn't care.
No, I wouldn't care either.
He's made the NFL like the most successful sport, professional sport in America.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't care when you're making $30 million and you're doing great.
Yeah, no, he'll be fine.
Yeah. One last thing before we go. LeBron's asking for a playmaker, and then they're trying to trade Carmelo. Thoughts?
I think they made the right move not to take Melo, because they wanted to do a straight swap of Melo and Kevin Love.
That's a horrible idea.
Yeah, very horrible. Love is like 3 years younger. He makes less. His percentages are better.
He can rebound.
He can rebound. He does more. So I think the Cavs, they did the right move there, not doing that trade. And now I'm hearing Melo to the Clippers, and they don't even have to give up Blake, DeAndre, or Chris Paul.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I feel like whichever team Melo goes to, it'll be a big adjustment because he's a big time player, and every team would have to adjust to that, especially mid-season when people are starting to get into form and teams are starting to come together.
Yeah.
For someone to be traded onto your team that takes 20 shots to get 20 points, it's going to be a big adjustment. So.
Yeah. I heard a super interesting trade, and it was Melo to the Sixers for Okafor and Ilyasova. Because Ilyasova has like an expiring contract.
Yeah, no, he's being passed like a hot potato right now.
I think
that would be interesting. Because, I mean, the Knicks, they sub Porzingis. Joakim Noah starts at center over there. So that could be interesting. I don't know if it will happen, though.
Yeah, I don't think the Sixers would do that. The Knicks just need to buy out. They need to buy out D-Rose, I think. And I think they need to buy out Joakim.
Man, no.
I don't...
Everyone's saying trade everyone but Porzingis.
Yeah.
So.
Courtney Lee can stay. I like Courtney Lee.
Yeah, Courtney Lee's cool. He's cool. But, so I don't know what they're going to do, really.
Yeah.
That's an interesting situation.
Yeah. And then what'd you think of LeBron's comments about, we need an bleep word playmaker?
I think, they lost Dellavedova, and he was a big part because he was that backup point guard, and they don't really have a backup point guard now.
Yeah, and then Mo Williams retired right before the season.
Yeah. So, I mean, they still, regardless, have a lot of talent on that team.
Yeah.
But LeBron has to play so many minutes now and probably won't be good in the long run. But I also just think he's being a crybaby, too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
But in a sense, I do agree with him.
Yeah. Yeah. I understand that. Cool. Well, you guys have two more games this week, don't you?
Yeah. We play West Alabama on Thursday. We play West Georgia on Saturday.
And both those are at home?
Both at home.
Dude, that'll be sweet.
Yeah. Come out. Yeah. Come out and support.
You guys are in the middle of potentially turning the season all the way around.
Yeah, we're getting there. Don't want to jinx nothing. We're getting there.
I understand.
We got a ways to go.
I understand.
We got a ways to go.
But
we're taking the right steps towards that, though.
Yeah, yeah. Those are just two impressive wins you guys had this week.
Yeah.
Well, Nick, we will see you on Thursday. Yeah. Hopefully, hitting 4 or 5 again.
Hopefully, maybe more.
Probably not. Know. Maybe not airballing another 3 again.
No. It was actually a 2.
It was a 2? You airballed? Yeah. Like a mid-range jumper?
Mid-range, right at the free throw line.
Oh, man. Okay. We will see you later. We will be back next week.